In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is a constant mistake, even of good Catholics, to lose consciousness of the fact that this life is a test and not the final resting place of men. Yes, they know it by their faith, and when they are reminded of it, they realize it is true. But Catholics in their daily lives very often lose consciousness of this fact, and they fret over the crosses of this life. They do not understand why God sends sufferings, why God permits certain things in this life, because they fail to keep before their minds this sacred truth that heaven is the place of the final disposition of divine justice and of divine mercy, of divine truth. And also hell is the place of divine justice, of the final word of God for those who are evil. But in this life, we are involved in a great battle and upon a great battlefield. A great battle between heaven and hell. It is the will of God that we prove to Him in this life that we love Him. And this we do by our sacrifices for Him, which is the patient bearing of our crosses, at the very least. Because God has so willed it, human beings are subject to temptations from the devil. The devil desires to hurt God as much as he can by snatching from God as many human creatures as he can. Thus, just as in the little world of each man there is a battle between good and evil, between virtue and temptation to sin, so there is a struggle in society between these forces, and so there is a great struggle over time between the city of God and the city of man. There are two ways to destroy the Church of Christ. Because Christ founded a church, it is evident that the machinations of the devil concern most of all the destruction of the Catholic Church, which is the kingdom of God on earth. For the destruction of the church is then the destruction of many souls. The two ways of destroying the Church of Christ are first by a frontal attack, by which the adherents of the church are eliminated, are liquidated, are put to death. And the second way is by a subtle and gradual poisoning of the religion itself so that it becomes completely useless or actually becomes an agent of the devil himself. For this reason, the church has undergone frightful persecutions, in which she has lost many of her children to brutal death. The persecutions of the Romans for 300 years. The persecutions of the Muslims, of the Eastern schismatics, particularly in Poland and in Russia. The persecutions of the Protestants, particularly in England, Holland, and Germany. The persecutions of the communists in Russia, China, Vietnam, Mexico, and Spain. The persecution of the atheistic and Freemasonic governments of the 18th and 19th century Europe, particularly those of France, Germany, Austria, and Italy. The persecutions at the hands of Stalinist Russia and Nazi Germany. And these are only some of the travails of the Catholic Church, and in them countless millions have died bloody deaths. The frontal attack on the Church can also happen in a bloodless fashion by the political and social blocking of the work of the Church in society. The Church, for example, becomes nearly paralyzed if she cannot educate her youth in Catholic schools or form priests by the establishment of seminaries and religious life. But as devastating as these persecutions are, far worse is the internal poisoning of the Church's institutions. The Prince of Lies has never refrained from using this method. And once the Romans failed to be his instrument in the persecution of the Church, he then set to the poisoning of the minds of the clergy in the 4th century, so that the Church, no sooner had it emerged from the bloody persecutions of the Romans, than had to face an internal crisis in which its institutions were in the hands of heretics. Satan hopes to pervert the creature of the Church in the same way that he hopes to pervert the creature of the individual man. For the institutions of the Church are only as strong as the men who inhabit them. A cathedral is Catholic only if the Mass and the doctrine in it is Catholic. Otherwise, it is a heap of stone. And the diocesan chancery is Catholic only if the bishop in it is Catholic. Otherwise, it is a collection of bricks that could better serve as a department store. And if these members of the high clergy who inhabit the institutions of the Catholic Church, if their faith should be compromised, these same institutions can become powerful instruments of the devil. And so we saw in 16th century England a whole nation go over. And the cathedrals and the chanceries and the schools of a once great Catholic England became then all instruments of the devil. And not only would it be confined to that nation, but this heresy would be spread by the British Empire into all parts of the world, Australia, Canada, everywhere where the British went, they would bring this heresy. It has pleased the divine will, however, to permit, ultimately for the greater glory of God, both the frontal attack upon the Church as well as the poisoning of her members, and even sometimes of her institutions. Whole dioceses and whole nations have perished by the divine permission. With the passage of time, the Church has lost much ground to her persecutors, both those from without and those from within. By 1925, the damage was so great that Pope Pius XI felt it necessary to remind the world of the doctrine of Christ the King. I say remind the world, for from the time of Constantine the Great, in the early 300s, right up to the time of the French Revolution, the world lived the royalty of Christ. the royalty of Christ was made flesh, as it were, in the way people lived, in their personal lives, in the lives of their families, in the lives of their towns, in the lives of their nations. But it was not until, little by little, the persecutors of the church, urged on by the prince of this world, took from the church
many of her children, either by killing them or by destroying them internally, that society began to abandon its recognition of the royalty of Christ. So bad did this abandonment become that it was necessary for the first time in the history of the church to actually remind the faithful of this doctrine that all power in heaven and upon earth has been given to our Lord Jesus Christ as Son of God, not only in virtue of his sacred divinity as second person of the Blessed Trinity, but even more importantly, in virtue of his sacred humanity as Redeemer of the human race. And that all, not only baptized Catholics, but all men are subject to his scepter. Since 1925, nearly 70 years ago, the situation has become much worse. Those who deny to Christ his royal rights in society have now inserted themselves into the offices of the papacy. For this reason, as I said last week, it is our solemn duty as Catholics to refuse to recognize in them the authority of Christ and the successorship of St. Peter. And whereas in the Arian heresy, the rot was confined to individual dioceses or even nations, now the rot is everywhere because the rot has attained that office which is the head of the Catholic Church. We cannot do anything, unfortunately, in this situation of the church or of our society to restore order. We do not possess the means to put back in place the institutions that have been destroyed by heresy and liberalism, not only of our church, but also of our society. It is not the will of God that we, at this time, possess those means. Just as it was not the will of God in the early centuries of the church that the church show itself as triumphant, but rather as suffering. It was not the will of God to spare the martyrs that went to the lions, but rather that they go and suffer in front of the whole Roman world, so that one day the church would be better for it and that he would be more glorified by it. And so we do not have the power to change society. We do not have the power to put the church back in proper order. We are obliged to further as much as we can any preservation of even the natural law in the world of politics, any means at our disposal to prevent such terrible evils such as abortion or other evils that afflict our society. But the world is so corrupt, even in the world of politics, that it affords little occasion even to do this. But we do remain kings of our own souls and kings of our own families. There we still retain the power. And therefore, we must make Christ reign in those places. And the first way to make Christ reign in those places is to pray more often and more fervently. For prayer opens up the soul to God. It closes off the distractions of the world and puts God at the helm of our ship. It orders our minds. It strengthens our will to know the will of God and to do it. And if Catholics have become weak in their resistance to modernism, to liberalism, it is because they have failed to pray over the years. And we must ban from ourselves and from our families the evil influence of liberalism. The very term liberalism should tell us of its evil, for it seeks to be free, that is, liberal, from something. For liberty is always a freedom from something, some constraint. And what is the constraint that liberalism seeks to be free from? It is the constraint of Christ. The constraint of the law of Christ. If you look at the history of the movements and ideas that have given us the modern world, which is so abhorrent to us, and if you look at the people over the past 200 years that have urged with zeal and zest the reforms that have given us this ugly modern world, you will see that their animating spirit is to be free from the dominion of Christ. And hence liberalism is the very opposite of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King. For example, don't let your minds be poisoned by the liberal media who tell you what you're supposed to think about everything, the attitudes that you are supposed to form in your mind. Who runs the liberal media? 85% of the management of the media are Jews. 85%. And Jews historically have had a hostility toward our Lord Jesus Christ, a hostility toward the church, and have always collaborated and fomented every single movement, be it that of the Protestant Reformation, be it that of the French Revolution, be it that even of the Muslims, against the Catholic Church. They have financed it and they have pushed it. And they are the ones now in control of basically what we think, what entertains us, what our values should be. And if there is no movie to go to because they're all filthy, that is the reason. But yet, good Catholics will sit in front of their TV sets, will go to the movies which filthy liberal Hollywood serves up to them. Their minds will be filled with pornography and impurity. And they will fail to ban with strength and fortitude from their own minds and from their homes what is contrary to the law of Christ. Like weak sisters, they give in. And then they become liberal. And should the priest say to them, Oh, you cannot go to the movies because they are dirty. You cannot watch TV because it is filthy and dirty, and it is filled with evil ideas that are corrosive to Catholic minds. And the music that is commonly heard, rock music, that this is something evil and produced by the same anti-Catholic forces that have given us the rest of the rot. Well, then the priest is criticized for being weird. Asking people to give up things that belong to their lives. How could we live without television? How could we live without movies? How are we expected to live without what comes over the radio and what is given us as our culture? Or if the priest should say, do not pay attention to the advice that is given to you by, again, liberal Jewish psychiatrists about how to raise your children, like Dr. Benjamin Spock. Do not listen to that, but take up sacred scripture and learn how to raise your children. Look at the example of your Catholic ancestors about raising your children. Read about what sacred scripture says concerning the necessity of corporal punishment for your children. If a priest should suggest that to you, then the priest is criticized because he is not in attune with the modern thought. Many fervent Catholics are poisoned by liberalism, and it is an offense to our Lord Jesus Christ, the King. We must learn to think independently and act independently of the modern world, since the modern world would have us think and act in a way which denies the royalty of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical, said these words: the faithful, moreover, by meditating upon these truths, will gain much strength and courage, enabling them to form their lives after the true Christian ideal. If to Christ our Lord is given all power in heaven and on earth, if all men purchased by his precious blood are by a new right subjected to his dominion, if this power embraces all men, it must be clear that not one of our faculties is exempt from his empire. He must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and the precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to Him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls, or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, as instruments of justice unto God. If all these truths are presented to the faithful for their consideration, they will prove a powerful incentive to perfection. It is our fervent desire, venerable brethren, that those who are without the fold may seek after and accept the sweet yoke of Christ, and that we who, by the mercy of God, are of the household of the faith, may bear that yoke not as a burden, but with joy, with love, with devotion, that having lived our lives in accordance with the law of God's kingdom, we may receive full measure of good fruit and counted by Christ good and faithful servants, we may be rendered partakers of eternal bliss and glory with Him in His eternal kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.